Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see each of you here this morning. Look around. Don't look too hard, though. I don't know what you are expecting, but if you're one of these high-tech people who already got my email from a few moments ago or maybe 30 minutes ago, I don't know. You know more than the rest, but if you look around and you go, where is everybody? I'll tell you where they are. I can count. Me and Angie were talking this morning. In the last 24 hours, I have gotten texts and phone calls and emails and different communication that let me know that we have at least right about 30 of our faithful members who will not be here today. Only one of them tested positive for COVID-19. All the rest are either contact tracing or they are in quarantined as a result, or they know somebody who might have it and are waiting to find out if they have it and are therefore taking precautions in that regard. So I was like, wow. So that's a lot of people, and many of these folks are some of our most faithful servants, and appreciate them so much. So you just got a whole lot of that come down the pike here in the last day or two. So as a result of those decisions and precautions, you've got your worship guide here. This whole calendar schedule, you can just about throw it out the window right now. So there will be no evening activities, all right, tonight. There'll be no Wednesday night activities. We're going to give these folks a few days for some whose test results, you know, are waiting to come back so they can know maybe what's the proper thing for them to do or not. Again, I know there's a lot of, different thoughts on all of that, but based on a sense of precaution, we will pretty much have nothing else the rest of the week. We're going to just give it a few days, let people find out so they can, what their situation or other people's situations, so they can then make informed decisions themselves. We will next Sunday have a normal planned, at this point, a normal schedule of activities. We were scheduled to have, at the bottom of your, it says there'll be one combined BFG in the worship center. Not going to do that. The combined BFG next Sunday was going to be me and the deacons sharing with you and the congregation our top three or four concerns about the Southern Baptist Convention and some of the issues and direction there. That's too important of information. We're here to educate and to inform, and it's hard to educate and inform when you might have people still quarantining or whatever, just being cautious. So we will reschedule that. But next Sunday, Lord willing, we'll just have a normal BFG Sunday morning, Sunday evening activities as normal. But again, I'll certainly communicate with you any adjustments or any changes that might take place there. So there'll be no deacons meeting Tuesday evening, because the deacons meeting was to prepare for the Sunday presentation. So we won't have that. I'll be rescheduling those things as well. So pretty much, we're here this morning, and that's it for the rest of the week. So do be in prayer for our people. It's one of those things, you know, many of us, including, you know, me, as you know, back in August, have had the virus, and, you know, and most of our people have done very, very well with it. But now it's not the virus so much itself as the tracing and the precautions that have kind of impacted us tremendously this morning. So, you know, a few are traveling, but for the most part, I counted about 27 that are not here due to precautions. So that's where we're at, and I hope that makes sense. Check your email for more information, or maybe just a repeat of that today. I think that's it. Clay, I know Clay is touch base with the Truth Trackers. Jeff has canceled student activities for this afternoon and evening, and I think that's it. All right, now, you don't see Carlos either. All right, Carlos and his crew are still under the weather, and so there will be no music today. So it'll be a very focused service on the Lord's Supper, and I appreciate the deacons stepping up and doing that. And this morning we begin the new year, as we have for some time with the Lord's Supper. We do this quarterly, and the way it always works out is the first Sunday in January is the first Sunday of the quarter, and that's how we do it. And I think it's very appropriate to start any year, but especially 2021 in this way, to start the year remembering Jesus, to remember why he came, why he died. You know, you think a lot about when Jesus was before Pilate and he said he's here to testify to the truth. And, you know, it's like, what is truth? And we desperately need truth, the truth from the Word of God, the truth in Christ. Jesus said, I am the way and the life. But in the middle of that, he said, I am the truth as well. And so we're going to remember Jesus, why he came, why he died, examine our spiritual conditions, which is very important. And then consecrate ourselves to the best of our ability, consecrate ourselves to the Lord this morning in this way. And it is a good and much needed time of corporate worship. Now, we find the account of Jesus leading his disciples in this way in Matthew chapter 26. Listen, if you will, to the words of Matthew 26, 26 through 29. It says, now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples. And he said, take, eat, this is my body. He took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So we see here that when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper with his disciples, he took bread and he blessed it. He blessed it. And then he broke it and gave it to them. He also took the cup, it says, and when he had given thanks, he then gave it to them. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 and 24 that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had again given thanks, he broke it and then said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this. Do all this in remembrance of me. Jesus called his disciples to remember him in this specific way, to remember him, and you know, we get to look back on what they didn't understand, because he's asking them to remember him in what he's about to do. We look back on what we know he did. So he came to testify the truth. He came to die for the sins of many. And he would do that very soon as he's speaking to his disciples. And then they would understand. You know, they say hindsight's 20/20. You know, we understand everything later. Same thing with them. He would do this act. He would be in obedience to the Father, loving the Father, obeying the Father, loving his children. He would do this very soon, and then they would understand the significance of the bread, you know, being the battered and bruised body of Jesus Christ. They would get that. The cup, they would understand, being like his life's blood that he would shed, that he would pour out for their sin, that he would pour out for my sin and your sin. God sent his Son to provide the solution for sin. It seems today many people look at Jesus as, you know, all kinds of things. He is all things to all people. You know, community organizer and social activist and things like that. And that's not why Jesus came. Jesus came because sin is the issue. Sin is the problem. Jesus is the solution. And part of our remembering Jesus and remembering what he did, the suffering he endured because of our sin, should produce in us, as we focus on this, a heart of gratitude. It should produce a deep, deep appreciation, a genuine thankfulness. And just as we need the law of God, we desperately need the law of God and the commandments in the Bible to help us see that we are guilty, guilty, guilty people, we need to remember Jesus, whose life, death, and resurrection, if applied to our lives, says we are also forgiven, forgiven, forgiven. And that's the good news. Also included in remembering Jesus, though, is remembering his example. You know, we cannot always do the things that Jesus did, but there are things we can do and follow his example, and where we can, we should. And in Matthew's account of the Lord's Supper as well as Paul's instructions there based on what Jesus passed on to his disciples, we see Jesus very clearly giving thanks. In every one of these things, you see him giving thanks. You go back to, you know, as I mentioned, I think last week, the two men on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus spends time with them, and their hearts burn with the, as he shares the scriptures. And then they invite him to his house, and then as he breaks the bread, you know, and he's gonna break the bread, he's gonna give thanks. That's when he was revealed, you know, to them. We see Jesus in a thankful life, you know, and he knew what he was gonna do. He knew he was gonna suffer. He knew he was gonna die. We don't know these things, and we're thankful we don't know what's coming in our lives. But Jesus fully knows these things, and yet he still lives a very thankful life, not only in connection with the Lord's Supper, but at other times in his life. He gave thanks when he fed the multitudes. He fed the 4,000. He fed the 5,000 plus, you know, women and children. He gave thanks before raising Lazarus from the dead, obviously one of the major events in Jesus' life, the major miracles and evidences of his power over life and death. But he gave thanks before he did that. He gave thanks to God for revealing and concealing his will. That's an interesting thing to give thanks for, but he did that as well. As far as of Jesus, Jesus has provided us with a thankful example to follow. So before we take time to confess our sin and to examine ourselves this morning, I want us to take some time to express our gratitude to God. I know, you know, 2020 was difficult, and as you can look around and see this morning, 2021 is starting off with challenges certainly as well. But there's so much to be thankful for, and it really is sin if we don't set our minds on the things that God has done, not just what he's done, who he is, what he's done for us personally. And as I was walking through this effort or focus, if you will, this theme of thanksgiving, which is what I want us to focus on in 2021, I was reminded of something called the doxology. How many of you remember the doxology? Yeah. I remember as I was a kid, Etowah Baptist Church in Etowah, North Carolina, John Reimer was the pastor, and it seemed like, I think every Sunday we sang the doxology. Maybe it was, you know, it might have been every Sunday. In a kid's life, that might have been 3 weeks, and I'm thinking, you know, this is for my whole life or whatever, you know, and it's, you know, you complain and whatever. But I think we ended every service with the doxology. I didn't understand why, really never, you know, was never explained. But you remember that, and it's certainly a very, you know, thankful, you know, brief song, if you will. Praise God from whom all blessings flow, right? Well, we don't have Carlos, and even though we got a few people who could come up here and beat a drum and maybe hum a few bars, I want us to sing the doxology. So I think if you got the words on the screen there, so we'll just kind of sing this a cappella. If you know it, great. If you don't, that's okay. We'll sing it nice and slow and try to take the words in so that this starts to cultivate in us this morning just a heart of thanksgiving and a heart of gratitude. All right, I tell you, why don't you just stand, and let's that way we can get your lungs full of air, and you know, full of hot air. We can sing this to the Lord. All right, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. You did good. You can have a seat. Now, what I want you to do in the next few moments, I want to lead us through three prayer sessions. And I want you to keep that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit thought in your head. I know that the Trinity blows us away, baffles us, and really is something that's hard for us to grasp. But at the same time, it's who God is. It's part of his character. It's part of his interrelationship. He is one God in three persons. But I want you to give thought to God as Father, to God as Son, to God as Spirit. And I want you to thank Him for who He is in each of His three persons. So if you just bow your head, we're going to pray for who He is. And then I'm going to have Tim Crane come and close out that prayer session. So just take a few moments right where you are, heads bowed and eyes closed, and thank the Father, Son, and Spirit for who He is.
Our Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this wonderful plan of salvation that You've given us. We thank You for Jesus, who is God, part of the Trinity, the King that left heaven, put on human flesh, humiliated Himself, suffered and died for our sins. We thank You that He's the Good Shepherd who leads us, guides us, directs us. We thank You that He's the bread of life that heals us spiritually, heals us physically. And we thank You for the fact that He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And we just thank You for this wonderful, curious plan of salvation by which we're Your children. You're part of Your family. And it's on that basis we pray. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I think it's important to praise the Lord and to thank Him for who He is, for His character, because, you know, do you ever have those friends, and sometimes it can be family, that every time they call or every time they come by, you just want to go, what do they want? What is it now? I know we're supposed to be servants. I know we're supposed to be poured out like the example of our Master and King, but you know, you just every now and then, you go, I'd just like You to swing by with no purpose in mind, just to see how I'm doing, just to ask about me. I mean, I can't tell you how many times, you know, Angie will tell me about a patient or somebody that she's been around. She's like, you know, I got all this information. I ask them about all this stuff. They never once asked me about my kids. They never asked me about my life. Never. It's like, you know, it's just kind of where most people are. But we're not supposed to be most people. And, you know, I know God probably doesn't get sick and tired of us coming to Him ever. But, you know, you wonder when your times of prayer is all about what I want. What can God do for me? You know, we kind of have this joke that, what is it? Was it UPS used to have this theme, what can Brown do for you? It's just, you know, we just call Jesus Brown. What can Brown do for me? It's all about what He can do for me versus just, if you just, you know, when you have that quiet time and you just start off praising Him for who He is, I mean, who He is, you can just get lost in all of that. And then it's kind of like, I know I had some things I needed to ask for, but those things seem very irrelevant in light of who He is and how great He is. You know, we need that. We need to remember who He is, because we, if not, we'll remember who, you know, some musician is, or we'll remember who some sports athlete is. We'll remember who some politician is. We'll remember who somebody famous is, and then we get let down. But when we remember who He is, God the good Father, Jesus Christ, the amazing, powerful, sacrificial, humble servant who could have called a legion of angels, instead chooses to suffer and die. The Spirit of God who is always with us, correcting us, directing us, clearing His throat and basically saying, you don't want to do that, you need to do this, you need to worship Me. I mean, just all the things that we have access to that lost people don't have. Who He is. Next, give some thought in your heart and mind. Just bow your heads and give some thought to what He's done in these three persons. What specifically what the Father has done, specifically what the Son has done, and specifically what the Spirit does. And just give a few moments to praise Him, praise God for those things. And then Rusty Boone's going to come and close us out in a moment.
Father, it's hard to put into words our thanks for what you've done for us, Father. You know, it talks about in Romans that your faithfulness is not fazed by our unfaithfulness. And we thank you for that, Father, from the bottom of our hearts. We thank you that you're a God who loves. And that's all you can do. That's who you are, is your love, Father God. You are just. You are holy. But the heart you have for us as a church, the universal church, Father God, but also us here at Hampton Heights, we want to thank you so much for what you've done, for just allowing us to be your hands and your feet and your mouth. Forgive us for the times that we've fallen short. We thank you so much, Father, for the fact that you're not done with us yet. There are a lot of days when we want to look at things and just say, I'm done with it all. I'm ready to go home. But you're not done with us. So we thank you so much for what you have done, but also what you have in store and what you will be doing through us and for us, Father. And again, there's no words we can ever convey on the thankfulness that we have, Father God. But I pray that you use us in any way, shape, or form you will. Pray these things in your name. Amen.
And now would you bow your heads and give some very personal thought to what God has done for you. We've praised him for who he is. We've praised him for what he's done in the world and what he's doing. And now it comes time to think about what has God done for you personally. And then Ron Bellamo will close that session out in a few minutes.
Just pray and thank you, Lord, for being a personal God, Lord, a God that we can relate to, a God that we can come to in prayer, Lord. Just thank you for that wonderful gift of prayer, Lord, where we can pray for things, things like hope, things for joy. Lord, we all sin, Lord. We all fall short. I just thank you, Lord, that you've sent your son Jesus to save me personally, Lord, as well as any other members here that have chosen that free gift, Lord. 2020 has been a challenge, Lord. I do want to thank you for those challenges. Challenges can bring us closer to you, Lord. You're always there with us through those challenges, never leaving us alone. Lord, just thank you for that ability to overcome. Another amazing gift, Lord. If we use it wisely, Lord, we can grow much closer to you. Help us with that, Lord. Thank you for this church, Lord, and the church family and what it means to me and my family, Lord. Helps us, directs us, guides us in the right direction through the word, Lord. I do want to pray for the word, Lord. That's another amazing gift where we can search, and we can read, and we can learn. Another way to come closer to you, Lord. Just ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
All right. God's word calls for individuals to examine themselves to see whether they're in the faith. And, you know, if you are in the faith, then certainly Ron's prayer resonated with you. If you think of the time that God drew you to himself, made you aware of your need of salvation, took that weight of sin and guilt and that burden off of you, and you just, you know, in that moment were clean as a newborn baby, just, you know, had all the numbers on the calculator cleared and your sin as far as the east is from the west, and then to get to experience that on a regular basis is a tremendous gift. So there's so many things to thank God for who he is, for what he's done in the world, and then what he's done for you. I mean, just think about all the forgiveness of your whole life, all the sins you've committed, all the times he's forgiven you, all the patience he's shown you, all the times the Holy Spirit has been with you when no one else has been with you, but you've never been alone. You've never been without provision from God. You've never been without mercy. I mean, you've never been without peace and real joy when you seek it, when you pursue it. And so he is a very personal God, as both Rusty and Ron has said. But for those, God calls us to examine ourselves. There's really nothing more important. If in examining yourself you're not sure that you are saved, then I would say do not take of the elements today. It's a very important thing to not do. To help with that assessment, let me share with you 6 indicators of salvation. See if this is you. Number 1, genuine believers give testimony of a real and personal relationship with God through his Son. Knowing God personally through Jesus is the new and eternal kind of life. You talk with him, you walk with him. It's an ongoing relationship. Is that you? Number 2, genuine believers experience conviction of sin. Confession of sin is part of their normal living. There's a weight, there's a guilt, there's an immediate conviction. There's a hatred for it. Even when you sin, you know this is not who you're supposed to be, and you hate that, and you ask for forgiveness. It's part of your normal life, and you're growing more sensitive to sin the longer you live. Is that you? Number 3, genuine believers have the gift of assurance of their salvation. Now, sometimes when you get near the Lord and you focus on his holiness, you realize he is so holy. Can I be saved? Is it too good to be true because I should be better than this? And at the end of the day, no, it is all a gift of his grace, and that assurance should come, and you should enjoy the assurance of being his child. Are you sure you're saved, and what do you base that on? Number 4, genuine believers have a real hunger for God, for his word, and for prayer. That's very important. Enjoying quiet times with God, hungry to be at the church, you know, with your Bible open, ready to receive what God has for you, having quiet times, say, Lord, speak to me, and he is speaking, and the word is open to you, and the Holy Spirit enlightens that word to you, and you are getting things from the word. You're getting direction for your life. You're getting very personal application for things that you're facing, and you're like, man, this is the living, breathing word of God, and there's a living Savior that is working with me and talking with me. Is that you? Number 5, genuine believers have the Holy Spirit indwelling them. The Spirit who does the convicting of sin, the convincing of truth, opens up those scriptures and grows us and teaches us. Number 6, genuine believers have a love for the church. The church, when it gathers for worship, when it gathers to study, when it gathers to serve, when it gathers to pray, giving the first of our income is a priority of all things. It's over all things. It's a joy. It's not a burden. It's not a have to. It's a get to. Is that you? And these are not questions of sinless perfection. There's only one who is sinless and perfect, and that's Jesus. But all believers have areas of needed growth. But if someone were to ask those who know you best about these 6 evidences, would they say, yeah, best I can tell, that is who he is, that's who she is. But if that's a foreign concept, then please, by all means, let the elements pass today. And let's get together and let's talk about where you are spiritually, because, again, there's no more important subject that we can talk about. And then finally this morning, let's just take a moment and ask God to show us our sin and confess it this morning. And let Psalm 139 guide us. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And when the psalmist is praying this prayer, he's not asking God to learn some things. He's not saying, Lord, I hope you'll figure it out and then tell me what the deal is. This knowing, you know, the Bible uses this term as a term of intimacy. And so it's a for better or for worse, it's, Lord, I'm completely exposed before you. I'm completely vulnerable as a as a husband and wife would know one another. I'm open completely to you. And I want you to search me. I want you to know me fully. You do what I need is for your help in understanding who I am. Examine me so that I will know. Examine my heart so I'll know really where I'm at. Not the facade of what I think, not the gene I want to be or the gene I'd like to think I am, but the real me. And then know my thoughts. Help me to see how I really am inside my head. And then where there be ways that grieve you, that grieve your spirit, lead me in that everlasting way. So just spend a few moments now, and whatever sin the Lord shows you, confess it to him. Ask him to help you repent and turn from it today. Father God, your word tells us that if any of us say we are without sin, that we are a liar and the truth is not in us. We are sinful people. I fear we are more sinful than we would ever admit. Our own flesh and the world and the enemy tries to help us downplay our own sin. When we get around others and want to apologize or ask for forgiveness, how often do others respond and say, oh, it's no big deal, or it's okay, when it's not okay, and it is a big deal. It's a big deal because sin offends you first and foremost, and then it hurts those we love, and then it distances us from you. It grieves the Holy Spirit. Sin is very serious, and that's why your son had to suffer the way he did and to die the way he did. Our sin is worse than we think, and we are worse than we think, but oh, we are loved so much more than we could ever deserve and at times even realize. So help us to have a balanced understanding of both the depth of our sin, but the power of your grace and how amazing it really is. And so we receive that afresh from you this morning. Lord, we ask that you would continue to bring us under conviction. But Lord, we lift our specific individual sins up to you, and we confess them before you, trusting that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all of it, past, present, and future. I pray for those today who are struggling with strongholds of sin in their lives. I pray for that conviction first and foremost, Lord. That's a great gift. Would you give it? Would you grant it? I pray we would respond with a hatred for it and a desire to turn from it. Only you can place that in us. Would you give us that gift? And then with hearts that are clean before you, we may not feel clean, but we trust that we are clean because of what Jesus has done. Would you free us to honor you, to live, particularly this new year in victory? Would you help us to live lives that are glorifying to you? We have a new month, a new week, a new Sunday, a new Lord's Day, a new start. We thank you for that, but yet we can have that every day with your forgiveness and cleansing, and we need it. So we pray now, Lord, as we take of the elements of the Lord's Supper, remembering your body, remembering your blood, and remembering Jesus, that you would be honored today. In Christ's name, amen. To reduce the amount of handling, we've set the elements up, as you see there, in the four tables, and the four deacons will now kind of take their place with the bread and the juice and these cups. And I would ask that you would take your time. Don't get in a hurry, but based on where you're sitting, go to the table closest to you and receive both the bread and the cup, and take both of them back to your seat now, if you can, please. If you need a deacon to bring the elements to you, you can just raise your hand in a few minutes, and they'll be certainly happy to do that as well. All right, Clay Simmons is going to come and pray for the bread.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time of reflection and remembrance of what your Son, Jesus Christ, did by sacrificing his body for us, Lord. I think about what the criminal said on the cross next to Jesus. When he was talking to the other criminal, he said that they deserve to be on that cross because of their crimes. And we, in the same way, need to be up on that cross because of our sins against you, Lord God, a holy God. But we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your sacrifice, for taking your body up on that cross and living that sinless and perfect life and that sacrifice for us. And so, Lord God, we just take this time right now to reflect and remember and thank you for your body that was broken for us, for our forgiveness and for salvation. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Clay. Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Mitch Nichols will now come and pray for the cup.
Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, when we think back to the Old Testament and the sacrificial system and the blood that was shed for the remission of sins, it's really hard for us to fathom what went on at that time and just the constant need for sacrifice. But Lord, we thank you that you broke into this world taking on human form, and that the sacrifice was sufficient once and for all. And it says in your word that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And it's such a concept hard for us to grasp, just something that just is unfathomable. Yet it also says in your word that but for the joy that stood before you, you bore the cross and endured the shame. We thank you for your precious blood that was shed for us for the remission of our sins. In Jesus' name pray. Amen.
Thank you, Mitch. In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." You know, as believers, we can easily say that every day is Christmas. We don't have to wait till the 25th to celebrate it. We can easily say every day is Easter, because every day, both the gift of God's Son and the death of God's Son, but more importantly, the resurrection, the defeating of death, hell, and the grave is something we get to celebrate. But one of the things I hadn't thought as much about of is not only should every day be Christmas and every day be Easter, but every day should be Thanksgiving for the child of God. And if you got my email, I mentioned that I want 2021 be a personal challenge to me and a challenge to our church to be a people of genuine thanksgiving, that let a thankful hearts be that which we cultivate, because we're probably going to have a lot of opportunities to do the opposite. And we certainly had them in 2020. We may have even more so. We don't know what 2021 holds, but we do know that we have an opportunity to be thankful and that God inhabits the praises of his people, and thankful hearts are a great weapon. And so I said I was going to have a surprise for you that I wanted to give you today, and I'll have these out. These are little 32-ounce jars with the Hampton Heights logo on them. Now, this idea comes from my mother, and what this is, several years ago, after my dad passed away, she began, she created her own little thankfulness jar. And so every day or every few days or once a week, just depending on the situation, she would, she had a bigger jar than this, but she would take a piece of paper and she would write down something from that day that she was thankful for. And she would fold it up and she would put it in the jar and close it up. And she did that for the year. And at the end of the year, she would open that jar back up and look inside and open those papers you know, especially if, you know, if you're tempted to be discouraged or sad, you could open up those papers and read and look back to what God did for you in that moment, and something to be truly thankful for. And as I said before, we have many more good days than bad days. We have many more easy times than hard times. But what do we focus on the most? We tend to focus on the hard things and the challenges. And so this year, I want this to be your thankfulness jar. I appreciate Katie. She did all the little decal work, and so they look really nice. So I'm going to have these. I'm going to carry this box out with me, and I'm going to have one of these for each adult or student. And you know, beyond that, I think that's pretty much what I ordered. I wish the rest of our crew were here today, but they'll get theirs over the next Sunday or two. But I want us to focus on Thanksgiving. Let that be our challenge for 2021, and I trust you can come up with the things that God has done each day or each week for you. And I'll have these out. In addition, we will have the ushers will be out with the offering plates. We won't hand them out or pass them through today. If you have an offering to give, as you might give of tithes and offerings, you can drop those in the plate on your way out. But I'm going to pray, and I'm going to carry these out and make sure and get you one, and then we will be dismissed for today. Father God, thank you so much for this different Lord's Supper service today. We miss the singing, we miss the music, and maybe perhaps, Lord, this might we might take today and the absence of that opportunity to grow in thankfulness for the worship service, thankfulness for corporate singing and music and the talents and the gifts and the abilities of those who lead us every Sunday, of the choir who practice every week and sacrifice their time and give of their talents in order to be the lead worshipers for our church, to challenge us in the area of true worship. Thank you for the praise team and Carlos and all that goes in to corporate worship. And so, Lord, maybe next Sunday we would sing louder, we would fill our lungs with more air, we would raise our hands in worship and praise, and we would express our gratitude for who you are. And so, God, we just ask that you would help us to cultivate hearts of gratitude today. Help us to take in afresh the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Help us to remember Jesus and who he is and what he's done and what he's done for us personally. And Father, may that begin to mold our character as we are tempted, even this day perhaps, this week surely, to be tempted to despair, be tempted to be negative. Oh God, how often am I negative? And I call it being a realist or just focusing on the facts. And yet, Lord, there's so much real and so many facts of how good you are and how gracious you have been and your tremendous provision in so many ways and your patience with us. Lord, there's so many things that we could say thank you for. And help us as a church to do those things, to say those things, to focus on those things, that we might experience your perfect peace as we give you praise and honor and as we live lives of thanksgiving. May we do so. May we grow in this. May others see our witness and want to know why we're so thankful. So again, Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for this Lord's Supper service. We pray that all that's been said and done has brought you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll meet you out in the hallway, and you are dismissed.